is Joy's Community Church, where you can wake up to the love of God, grow in Christ, and step out in service. You are listening to our weekly sermon featuring Pastor John Kyler.
Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a tiny seed that a man went and planted in his garden, and it grew up and became a bush, a shrub, a tree that the birds of the field came and nested in. Or when it's like a woman who took a little bit of yeast and worked it into 60 pounds of flour. It's a hungry woman, right? That's a lot of bread. 60 pounds of flour. I don't know how much flour goes into a loaf of bread, but gee whiz. Anyways, there's a little bit of yeast and expands to become this banquet that feeds multitudes. The kingdom of God is central to this message of Jesus. We talk about the kingdom of God often. Jesus came and he launched his ministry in Mark chapter 1 by saying that the kingdom of God is at hand. Change the directions of your life and enter in. Some weeks we pray the Lord's Prayer, which begins, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come." But if someone were to ask you tomorrow morning, what is the kingdom of God? How would you answer? What would you say? How would you describe it to them? For all of its importance and centrality in the Gospels, we sometimes struggle to grab hold of this notion of the kingdom of God. Is it just about the king? Or is it something else? Is it about his people? It's kind of a combination of both a king and a people. Somebody who's ruling and governing and exercising authority in the context of a realm, of a people, a nation, a tribe. Our passage today concludes with that question. What is the kingdom of God, and what should I compare it to? Jesus goes on to answer the question that he himself asked. He says, it's like a mustard seed or yeast, and that makes it totally clear. The parables in our passage begin with the word therefore. The New International Version translates it then. Then Jesus told them this parable. I like therefore better because it ties us, it's clear about its connection to what has just preceded it. Therefore, Jesus asked, what is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? And the story begins with a Sabbath, or on the Sabbath, rather. Jesus is teaching in the synagogue. The Sabbath was the day, you know, that was ordained by God to cease from all ordinary work. But it wasn't just about ceasing, it was about remembering and observing. Remembering and observing two central truths for God's people. The first, remembering that God is the God of all creation. All people, all plants, all animals, all of it. And the other is to remember that God is the God of deliverance or redemption. Sabbath was an integral part of God's moral law. It was number 4 in God's top 10 things to pay attention to and to obey. This is how it's mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the 7th day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, neither you nor your son nor your daughter or your male or your female servants, nor your ox or your donkey or any of your animals or any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath. The Sabbath, remembering that God is the God of all of creation. And he's also the God of deliverance. It was a Sabbath day. Jesus is teaching in the synagogues, in the synagogue. And from the front of the room, he sees a woman who for the past 18 years has been doubled over in some kind of deformity. She can't straighten up, and Luke emphasizes the severity of her ailment with a repetition. He says she was bent over and could not straighten up at all. Now, there's some social and moral implications of her ailment. We could pick up this a little bit in somewhat of the stereotypical way. We talk about our back. Someone has a strong back or big shoulders. They're someone of strong character. They have a weak back. They're weak character. They're, you might consider them spineless. Someone with a crooked back might be considered immoral. And the bent woman's outer appearance, stereotypically from her context, would have appeared to be a result of an inner moral defect. Her physical crookedness was the result of her inner spiritual crookedness. But it begins with Jesus seeing this woman. Our Life of Jesus group would key into that phrase right up front, that he saw her, that all kingdom work, all compassionate works begins by seeing as God sees. Jesus saw her. And it's likely that the others didn't, or if they did, they were put off by her appearance and kept their distance. But Jesus didn't. He calls her forward and he says, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." If we want to understand the kingdom of God, we'll start here with looking at those around us. To look with the eyes of Jesus, to be attentive, to look with the eyes of compassion. Jesus calls her forward. He touches her. He displays a moment of respect and value and connection, as opposed to just walking by, keeping your distance. Here is a woman who most of her life, we'll assume, we don't know how old she is, but most of her life she spends staring at her feet or off to the side, trying to catch a glance of what's going on around her, straining her neck, only to catch a glimpse, to see the kingdom of God. We have to see others as Jesus sees them. So Jesus heals her, and she stands up. She's got a full view of the whole room, and she gives glory to God because she's now liberated. But the leader of the synagogue, that would be the local minister, has a problem. He doesn't know the true nature of his problem, so he thinks it's the disrespect of this rebel from Nazareth who is the problem. This guy who has no respect for what is sacred or for the commandments of God. So the leader stands up to correct Jesus, but he does it under the guise of protecting his flock. He says to them, There are 6 days to work. So come and be healed on those days, not the Sabbath. In other words, don't come here to get healed on Sunday. Come on Monday through Friday. Well, Monday through Thursday, my day off is Friday. The implied correction towards Jesus was, Jesus, we've got this figured out and you're messing it up. But they didn't see the kingdom of God. Spiritually speaking, they're bent over. And at best, they can only see their feet. They are what Augustine and Luther described as humanity curved in upon itself. It's the central disease of all humanity. Jesus calls them out by their hypocrisy. They calls them out for pretending to believe one thing but doing the very thing that they condemn. The disease of being turned in upon ourselves is what Scripture refers to as sin. And it's basic, and it obscures our vision of God's kingdom and His work in the world. It's a disease that puts us at the center of the universe. And it gets expressed in various ways. Sometimes when we gather on Sunday mornings, we evaluate our experience as that, an experience. What did I experience this morning? Did I feel something? Was I moved? Was I connected? When it comes to praying, do I have a sense of God's presence? And we evaluate whether or not God is near to us when we're reading scriptures or we're praying by our feelings. Not that those are totally wrong, but we become the deciding factor in whether or not God is here or he's working in our lives. Or we do the opposite. We say, because this is cool and exciting and fun, God must be here. Because this is big and grand and glorious, God must be here. Maybe, maybe not. For the synagogue leaders, their inward bent was their moralism. And it was a moralism that actually excluded God from the picture. It was about them and how well they were pleasing God. Jesus said, you guys are a walking contradiction to the law that you say you're keeping, and you're condemning me for breaking it. They're here in Luke. There's a strong contrast between this woman who has this ailment and these leaders who think they're the people of God because of the way in which they honor the Sabbath. Jesus makes this comparison when he says in verse 16, should not this woman who you overlooked, who you didn't consider, who you kind of ignored or felt repelled by, this woman who you did not see, this daughter of Abraham. With that small phrase, Jesus connects her to the covenant community of God as someone, one of God's children. Should not this daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? Jesus brings this woman standing upright into the realm and rule of God by declaring her a daughter of Abraham, a child of the covenant who has entered Sabbath and has experienced Sabbath as release and liberation from what has bound her up all these years. Sabbath, remember, is a call to remember the God of creation. That is, the God who imparts each of us with dignity. That all humanity and every person is created in God's image, regardless of their ailments. The Sabbath was a call to remember God's deliverance of his people from bondage to the Egyptians. A call to remember that our deliverance comes only from God, that we can't fabricate it on our own. Israel was to observe the Sabbath every seventh day, and every seventh year there was to be a full year where the values of the Sabbath stretched out. And then every seventh sabbatical year was a year of jubilee, a year of release and redemption and proclaim. And Jesus, who comes as an agent of the kingdom of God, who comes as the king himself, comes to bring Sabbath on the earth. Luke tells us in chapter 4 that he came to proclaim the year of jubilee. He says, "For the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, and to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Sabbath is what kingdom looks like. Sabbath is about liberty and freedom from deliverance. The woman was freed from her bondage. But the leaders, they're bent over and turned in upon themselves. Sabbath is kingdom, and the kingdom is about freedom and release. Not just about ours, but about the person sitting next to you, the person you work next to, the person who checks you out at the grocery counter. Sabbath, kingdom, begins by seeing others as God sees them and seeing all of us in need of some kind of release, some kind of liberation, particularly from our own inward bent. And all of this leads us up to Jesus' question. What is the kingdom of God really like? How will we know it when we see it? And so he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that birds come and perch in its branches." He said, "The kingdom of God is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked through all the dough." What do these images have for us to help us grasp what this kingdom is about? Jesus is making a comparison of small things and the large impact that they can have in our lives and in the world. Small seed grows into a bush. Small bit of leaven grows into loaves and loaves of bread. It's not easy to perceive from the start what it will be when it ends. You need the eyes of Jesus to see what he sees in order to perceive the kingdom at work. The kingdom at work in your own life may not be as obvious as you hope or want or long for, but it's there. It may be just a seed. And you, as kingdom workers and kingdom people, don't look for the grand miracle, but look to plant seeds of dignity and respect and value wherever you happen to be. The mustard seed is unimpressive, but it will grow so that it becomes a shelter for birds. The leaven will expand and multiply. It operates unseen below the surface in the flower through the chemistry, and boom, there it is. So it is with God's kingdom. God's kingdom is about his activity, his dynamic rule, and his influence. It's not about a particular place or society. And it begins in a rather unimpressive state. But it grows and becomes a shelter. And Jesus, I think, is messing with his audience a little bit here with the teachers, because he compares the kingdom to a mustard seed, and Depending on which species, this mustard seed would grow to be a bush about this high, big enough for birds to nest in it. I have a boxwood at the end of my sidewalk, and every time I walk by it, a bird flies out. It's like, it's so annoying. It's like, ah! So 4 feet, but who is the kingdom of God is a bush? What, are you kidding me? Who would come up with that metaphor? Jesus. Ezekiel, the kingdom of God, was compared to a cedar of Lebanon. They grow 90 feet tall and live for 3,000 years. But the point of either, if you go back to Ezekiel and Daniel, is that tree becomes a shelter for the nations, a place that provides care for others. In the same way, the leaven is not all about itself. It's about producing something that takes care of others. The kingdom of God is above all inclusive. It makes room, provides shelter, cares for those in need. Sometimes we think that it's all about us. But the whole gospel turns that around. And Jesus, in his own life, reveals that it is by pouring ourselves out for one another and for others around us that we really become the kingdom of God. That, you heard it here, I think, I don't remember who said it, but, oh, it was at our that thing we did. It's all so clear, it's like the parables, right? We were at the newcomer's dinner, and one of the kids at the table said, I learned in Sunday school today that it's joy is spelled Jesus, others, and yourself. Right? And how easy we forget that simple truth. That if we prioritize ourselves before others, we don't get joy. We get frustration and aggravation and disappointment. And that's what the mustard seed kingdom is about. That once we are delivered, we should be standing up, giving and making room for others to come into God's kingdom. The kingdom begins small and unimpressive, and its results are often unexpected. We, as God's people, are called to create Sabbath, not just enjoy it, wherever we go. Let's pray. You are the Lord of the Sabbath, the one who has sacrificed all and given all that we might be set free. Help us to bring Sabbath wherever we are. Amen.
Find out more, check us out at storeschurch.org.